Okay, we're going to call the special meeting of public hearing for February 27th for our county planning council to order. We'd all stand for a quick prayer and a pledge of allegiance. Thank you. And I'm going to turn it over to Commissioner Bobby DeBoss.
Let me ask that we acknowledge a moment of silence for Mayor Fisher's family in light of the recent tragedy as well as the recovery, and pray for his family. If we would have a moment of silence. Thank you.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, before we do a roll call, a few housekeeping issues. I understand the parking machine at the parking garage may be malfunctioning, so I know staff is trying to work on pulling tickets. This happened last month, but one way or the other, we'll get you out of the parking garage once you got in. If you don't let you stay there all day, we'll figure out how to get you out. As a reminder, always on the can for the coffee, donuts, bagel fund, please feel free to contribute. And I think on the parking items, as a matter of course, Mr. Morales will be again sitting back, and I think Mr. Hall will step forward on that issue because of a small conflict or conflict that exists, and we're just erring on the side of caution to make that happen. With that, if you could call the roll call, please. Lynn Kaplan, we have you on the phone. We're going to call the roll call now. Are you there? She's there.
Vice Mayor Lisa Aronson.
Here.
Mr. Tim Bascom.
Here.
Commissioner Richard Blattner.
Here.
Mayor Vincent Bocard. Mr. Neil DeJesus.
Here.
Commissioner Bobby DeBose.
Here.
Mr. Beam Furr.
Here.
School Board Member Patricia Good. Ms. Mary D. Graham.
Here.
Mr. Dan Hobby.
Here.
Ms. Lynn Kaplan.
Okay.
Commissioner.
She's present.
Yes.
And we're going to ask her to include herself, mute herself in a few seconds here. Go ahead.
Commissioner Martin Kerr. Commissioner Michelle Lazaro.
Present.
Commissioner Michael S. Long.
Here.
And just for the record, Commissioner Pierce here, I think he just stepped back. Here he goes now. You know Nancy.
Say yeah.
Nancy is capable of doing her minutes again.
She's smiling.
Commissioner Rita Mack. Mayor Michael Ryan.
Present.
Mr. Nicholas Steffens.
Here.
Mayor Daniel Sturmer.
Here.
Ms. Ann Castro, Chair.
Here. Lynn Kaplan on the phone, can you hear us?
I understand.
Lynn, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, but it's very, very distorted.
Okay, sometimes we can hear you talking, so if you can mute your phone when you're not wanting to tell us something. I don't know if we're going to be able to fix the distortion.
Sort of hearing an echo or something.
Okay.
Who is that?
Who's the second person on the phone? Lynn, who's the other person on the phone? Are they reviewers or somebody else calling in? Who's the male voice? Is that our technician? Okay, I would recommend you disconnect and call in again and try to get a different line.
There we go.
Wait, this sounds better, Ann.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We got the roll call. We're good. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for being patient. Now, it's my pleasure. I'm looking for the oath of office here for our new member, Vice Mayor Lisa Aronson. As all of you know, when we swear somebody in, we then do what we call the photo op drill. So please start preparing yourselves to move to the center so the photographer can come in and we can have a nice photo for Vice Mayor Aronson for her book and her photo scrapbook and everything else. So Vice Mayor, if you would join me up here, we're going to go ahead and get you sworn in before we do any more official business.
Yes.
Repeat after me. I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government.
Constitution and government.
Of the United States and the state of Florida.
Of the United States and the state of Florida.
That I am duly qualified to hold office.
That I am duly qualified. qualified to hold office.
Under the Constitution of the State.
Under the Constitution of the State.
And the Charter of Broward County.
And the Charter of Broward County.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Perform the duties of a member.
Perform the duties of a member.
Of the Broward County Planning Council.
Of the Broward Planning Council.
On which I'm about to enter.
On which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to get a new oath before much longer and shorten it, or there's something official about this. Moving chairs, I don't know, you want the chairs and chairs, moving chairs back.
Chair girl.
Get your table.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I was.
How we doing?
Thank you. Yeah, the two of you.
Yeah.
No, can I get you to go in the back row and let's get.
Oh, you want me to?
Yeah.
You.
Symmetry.
Different photographer.
All right, man.
In the back row on the end, can you move in just a little bit? I want to make sure I see everybody's face. Okay, we're good. Let's do a test shot.
Yeah, it don't look any better.
Can you make me look at you?
You can look at me. Let's do two more. One. Two.
Thank you so much.
Your official photograph's getting the body back in the front row.
Congratulations on your run.
Oh, okay.
Okay, with that, now I'll entertain a motion to excuse absences of school board member Patricia Good, Mayor Vincent Picard, and Commissioner Rita Mack.
So moved.
I have a motion for Mr. Steffens, and the second was from Commissioner Long. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, carries unanimously. Thank you all. Okay, now we're on to the consent agenda. Can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve.
Mayor Sturmer, Mr. DeBose, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, carries unanimously. Okay, council report.
Another announcement on the land use item for park tonight. Earl Hall will be substituted for typically this year.
Nice to see Mr. Hall. Thank you for coming. The acting director's report.
Morning, thank you. First, I'd like to welcome and congratulate Vice Mayor Aronson for joining the council. A couple other minor things, but I think important and exciting announcements are that the county has received an award, two awards for the climate change element, and also that includes the Broward County Land Use Plan changes that were adopted last year. I went a couple weeks ago to the Smart Growth Partnership for Broward County, received an award for that. And then also the county is being recognized by the National American Planning Association at the conference in April for the work that you all have done and were part of for the climate change amendments. So I just want to let you know that. And item R3, you'll find, we do a planning topic overview every couple of months. This one's about sustainability. There's more information in your packet if you want to do some more research on that. We'll keep those coming every couple of months as we've been doing. Aside from that, I think that is the only thing except for the affordable housing ad hoc committee, which I think Chair Castro is going to lead a discussion of.
Good?
Yeah, for the affordable housing.
Okay. And I'll go ahead and start that. We have an item PH6, which is part of the motion to approve that part of the agenda. I will ask you to include the motion of deferral. Just so you know where we're at, where we're going, and what the status is. Some of you have been attending. Mayor Sturmer, feel free to jump in. I know Commissioner Blattner was also at one of the meetings. We started with an initial smaller group of people, including the county commission, League of Cities, for this board's recommendation. I know Commissioner Keir was at the first one. And out of that came the thought that we would meet in an even smaller group just to talk about 13.1 and 1.0707. And when the smaller group met, the way the strategy was flowed is, you know, if we do 1.0707 in a manner that is, you know, complete, then we could probably put 13.1 aside as it won't become necessary anymore. And everybody seemed to agree to that framework. So we are now working on kind of beefing up, if you will, or further defining 1.0707. And the major issues underlying the county commissions, and this is where, of course, Commissioner Keir can jump in because he probably has heard more of the debate than I have, is what we heard at the meeting is when people want to apply for a land use change or even skip a land use, they don't even come to us necessarily, the affordable housing reporting that's being done is unique to each and every applicant or city. And the commission, the county commission, board of county commissioners, is struggling to compare apples to apples. And so they were looking for a methodology by which the reporting would at least come from the same data, in the same framework, with the same information. So if you're looking at Dania Beach versus Oakland Park, you can say, okay, I understand what's going on here, I understand the numbers, and I get it. And off of that, I don't know if Mr. Stone's here today, but Ralph Stone has been phenomenal in helping us out. There's a study that the county has been kind of utilizing. Oh, he's way in the back, so there, he's there if he has questions. From FIU, and we want to try to bring the FIU study forward, and then some of the cities are concerned about having to pay for a study or mandate. So the idea is we create a centralized study that everything gets drawn off of. Now, being a city or being an applicant or being anybody, an accountant or lawyer, you can take data and make your argument, and you can argue whatever way. I think the commission's okay with that. They just want to know that we're comparing apples and apples. So we're working on that right now to kind of bolster 1.0707, what we're calling standardized reporting. The second part of it was the mitigation formulas, or how we determine mitigation. If a city doesn't have a plan, there's a fall through default. In other words, if you don't have your own affordable housing program in your city, then the default is the recommended 1% cost, and we need to further define the cost, or the 15% set aside. So that also is going to be discussed. So hopefully, if we have a successful outcome, and we have another meeting coming up, I think March 10th with the staff.
March 10th is the staff level workshop, and then March 17th is the smaller group discussion.
And we want to give staff an opportunity to crunch this, because they're the people who will have to live and breathe it every day. So county staff, city staffs are going to come forward, technical advisors, probably people that work in engineering and development and planning, and they're going to have it out and say, well, we could do this, yes, we could do that. By then, hopefully, Mr. Stone and others will have an idea of whether FIU can put in all the pieces that the county commission was looking for. Some of the elements that the county commission wanted, like projection of some future supply, cities can't even get. Some of the pieces relative to employees, cities don't have access to that information. So we're kind of trying to find a way for FIU to make it a standard process, a standard database, that anybody at the county, you know, Wilton Manor submits an app, they push the button for Wilton Manor, and it comes out with the formula, the data, and everything, and a little report, and everybody's kind of, okay, we got this. So does that make sense to everybody? If we get that done, 13.1 comes off the table. There's no more, you know, home rule arguments or challenges, or we hope. We didn't get that right yet, but we got a lot of tacit approvals with one kind of lukewarm approval, but we think we got her if we get her down to 1.07. And I'm sorry, Commissioner Keir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think you explained it very, very well. And I just want to just give you a quick just perspective of where I believe the County Commission is with this at this time, just from the conversation that we had on the dais. It appears that the approach the County Commission is now taking, not to suit my colleagues, but at least what I perceived, is that I think that we came to the realization that the only way to make something work is if it is a collaborative, universal approach, not where it's just the County Commission saying, let's do this. It's basically the cities, the development community, a whole bunch of stakeholders basically coming in to try to find a nice product that will hopefully accomplish what we would all like to see happen. And I think that's the approach that we're taking. And that's the approach, at least that myself, that I'm supporting. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what the final product is. But my hope, like I said, and I believe this is the County Commission's hope, is that whatever it is will be done in a collaborative way. where everybody has input and everybody's happy, and that's really, really our goal. I just wanted to kind of bring that up.
No, thank you, I appreciate it.
And also, I don't want Dan to yell at me, so.
Dan has actually been very cool and calm, collected throughout this whole process so far.
Dan's awesome, yes, I love it.
And Madam Chair, let me just say this. For those of you that sit on municipal dais, it is imperative that your professionals show up on March 10th. There's a 3-hour meeting in the morning, and it was set up specifically to deal with, in part, an extra hour was added. Originally, it was about bonus densities. It's now been added to deal with the report.
It starts at 9 a.m.
It starts at 9 a.m. on the 10th. If the cities don't show up, at some point, it's going to be clocks on the municipal houses, because we've been given an opportunity to participate. And if cities don't participate and something moves forward, to scream about it later will be a problem, because we've tried really hard and set up this mechanism to make it happen. So I would implore you, I know Barbara sent out emails to the professionals and the managers, I know Mary Lou from the league then followed it up. So your city and town administrators have been barred and your professionals have, but it is imperative that we get as many city professionals there, because us as elected, you know, aren't intricately involved with our code. That if you push this piece of a code button, how does it affect something else? They are. So we need them there to help move this process forward.
And I would ask if you would send out a reminder email the morning of the 9th, so they have time to do this day to make sure their staff is prepared for.
Well, the 9th is a Sunday, but I am gonna send out information on the 3rd.
Friday.
So I will try to send as much
just
as I can.
Reminder. Yeah. If you want, send me the list and I'll send
it. Oh, no, I have the list, it's no problem.
Okay.
Mary will send her on
anything. Now, this only solves the immediate issue we had before this planning council, so I'm glad that all of you who suggested we kind of have this trilateral approach bring this through. But obviously, it opened the door to the bigger issue of affordable housing. I don't know if Monica Navarro is here this morning, but she chairs the Broward Housing Council, and they have a good construct to discuss affordable housing in Broward County. The way they're chartered under the county, they're supposed to have mortgage people, real estate people, insurance people, affordable housing, homeless initiative people, municipalities, city managers, and so forth. Problem is the charter is so kind of tight that some of their positions are vacant all the time. Like, they're supposed to have an employer who employs more than 50 people. And the idea there is livable wages. You know, if you're not getting livable wages, you could build all the boxes you want in Broward County. People can't afford to live there. And Mr. Steffens and I were talking this morning about insurance rates and flood insurance and things coming up and whatever. And so the point is during the meeting, we kept kind of sort of punting to the Board of County Commissioners that they should create a working group and include the Housing Commission and other groups and try to come up with some solutions, understanding some of the elements are beyond the county's control, beyond the municipality's control, beyond everybody's control, and how do we tackle that and how do we incorporate something? For instance, insurance rates. The county doesn't set them, the state does. So how do you go and try to influence that? The point is they kept punting back to us. Well, that's something you guys should do. So at some point when we get this initial part put to bed, we will probably try to create an ad work group. And the reason we're doing an ad hoc kind of committee is we won't have any rules as far as membership or whatever. So we'll start out small and try to figure out who should be at the table. That's a discussion that I'd like to have with all of you once we get these other things to bed, is how do we want to proceed? If we're going to be the charging council for that or the ones responsible for it, how do we put them together? Who should be on that thing and who should appear?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, very, very brief. I also just wanted to add, just from my own perspective, I think this issue also shows how important the Planning Council is to our county. Because as you know, the affordable housing issues were not given favorable votes by the Planning Council before it was transmitted to the County Commission. And I think that was incredibly important, because what it did was it made myself and my colleagues look at that and say, okay, there are some real concerns here. You know, we do have to bring more stakeholders and more folks. We have to get everybody's perspective. If the council had given them, let's say, unanimous favorable votes, we may not be discussing this like we are today. And it actually just shows that the influence that this council has over the policy that that happens at the county commission, and also I think with our cities as well. So just wanted to add that, and again, as always, appreciate your leadership on this issue.
And when the working group starts working, nothing is pretty much off limits. I mean, we're, it's going to be cantankerous, but it's also going to be collegial and whatever. And I'll give you some, for instances, during the small meeting, there was discussion, cities that don't have a program. Some of them don't have an affordable housing program, because with all due respect, they don't want affordable housing. And they, some of them apparently have been planned not to have affordable housing. And you all probably know which cities we're all referring to. But the point is what then? So one of the cities offered to pay out per door, the default, the 1%, and then, well, where does that money go? Because I know most cities, when you collect a fee, you want to keep it. You don't want to give it to the county. But if that city keeps the fee, they don't want to build affordable housing. They don't want any affordable housing programs. So should they give it to the county? And then what does the county do with it? So all this is eventually going to come into play, and hopefully we can all work together and figure out a solution that kind of helps the residents of our county be able to afford to live, as well as keep local governments with as much control as they can have, and provide the county the oversight they feel that they have to somehow, you know, have, which is fine, to make sure the job's getting done. So in the end, that's what the working group is going to probably kind of sort of charge with, is trying to figure this very complex problem out and influence the things we can influence and make decisions on, things we can make decisions on. So just to give you a preview. Ms. Kaplan, did you want to say something?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Chairwoman. I would like to bring up a matter that I discovered doing research related to the affordable housing proposal. I did provide staff with this particular case, and I think that maybe the attorneys on the council, like Mayor Ryan and Mayor Sturmer, may want to review this. I have a book that my sister-in-law gave me, who works for the city of Los Angeles and is called the Planning Commissioner. And in it, it's stated a case by the Virginia Supreme Court many years ago that was struck down regarding an affordable housing ordinance of Fairfax County as it related to socioeconomic zoning that was the taking of private property without compensation. And socioeconomic, which of course pertains to you know, requiring home sales at prices below the market, I don't believe is legally permissible. And it appears that any mandatory requirement to create affordable housing in a development can be a taking requiring compensation. So, you know, even if the county is not directly mandating it, you know, if it forcing cities to implement socioeconomic zoning, is that not a violation of law that can occur, which creates an unconstitutional result? I mean, this to me sounds very similar to what Broward County is proposing here. And in my opinion, before, you know, I think it's something that needs to be discussed and legally reviewed so that we're not violating any laws or constitutional rights when it comes to socioeconomic zoning.
Got it.
Ms. Kaplan, let me try to answer your question this way without having read the book or knowing the case in Fairfax County. The charge of the committee to date and the trilateral meeting that was held was specifically with regard to the proposed text amendment to 1.0707 related to flex and reserve and the issue of the study. It was clear, and Chair Castro, who chaired the trilateral meeting, was that the meeting we had recently was confined to those two specific issues, understanding the bigger concept of affordable housing. How is it defined? How do we discuss it? What's included? Was punted, for lack of a better phrase, until these two issues get resolved. So your issue is something that I'm sure Ms. Blake Boy will bring to Mr. Morotis' attention in review, but that was something that was not even part of the conversation to date. It may be part of the conversation that needs to be reviewed going forward. And I just wanted to give you that piece of what the meeting held last week was specifically with regard.
Right, and I understand that, and my position is that I think it mandates a written legal opinion as to this very case that was cited and has been on the books for years and years.
Yeah, Mr. Morotis has got it, and he'll look it up, and he'll probably try to give us feedback at the next meeting.
Well, a large part of it depends upon exactly how something is implemented, the basis for it. I mean, it's going to be a fact-intensive inquiry on a case-by-case basis. And, you know, we we have other, Florida, we're fortunate enough, or are fortunate enough to have another remedy for property owners in the Burt Harris Act, but it's going to be very fact-intensive on a case-by-case basis, how you implement it. It's a lot different when you implement it at the land use, comprehensive land use plan stage than if you were doing it in zoning, site plan, or planning stage.
And I agree with you, and I don't know if the case she's referring to, and I'll let the Supreme Court, if it's Fairfax County or the state of Virginia, there's no jurisdiction here. But I will tell you that the original hearing they were having on March 10th, because there are ways to get affordable housing concessions out of new development, and those are some of the things that we're going to discuss, is you get a bonus density if you get this. On flexible units, the city is trading, or the county is trading off their approval process on the types of commercial space or whatever you're having as part of your land use plan exchange for cities having flexibility, and flexibility they will give up, okay, we'll have so many affordable units. So there's a quid pro quo there built into the settlement or the agreement or whatever, and I would assume that those would stand the muster of any law. Mandates, which is what Ms. Kaplan is referring to, may be a different matter, and we will certainly look at that and take that up.
Yeah, as I said, I would suggest the best time is kind of deal with them as they come up, right, based upon an actual proposal, because it's so fact-intensive.
Yeah, but she's also talking about in general from one of the affordable housing discussions, and to Mayor Sturmer's point, that's the next group that's going to convene. That's what will be brought up and discussed. Okay, Mrs. Kaplan?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Any questions on the affordable housing, where we're at, where we're going, what's happening? Everybody's good? Okay. Correspondence, planning topic, review?
I just want to talk about the sustainability item that's in your backup. As I mentioned, we'll continue to provide those every couple months.
Okay. Going on to the public hearings, the first one is PH1, which is a quasi-judicial hearing.
The applicant is waiting for quasi-judicial for that item. I just want to mention that the only speakers, item 2 is recommended for withdrawal based on a technical issue. We'll bring it back to you next month. There's a recertification in Parkland. Items 1, 3, 4, 5, and 6, the only speakers are for questions only. There's no one signed in to speak that unless the item is pulled from the agenda.
And item 6, PH 6, is recommended for deferral so that the small group discussion with the county and the city is going to finish. So, are there any polls to start with? Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6?
Is 2 withdrawn?
2 is withdrawn. But if somebody wanted to pull it to have a discussion, I have no problem because the public's here and it was on the agenda. Are there any polls, page 1 to 6? Seeing none, may I have a motion
to
approve the items with the understanding that PH 2 is withdrawn and PH 6 is deferred? Is that the way I understand it?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I have a motion by Mayor Sturmer, a second by Commissioner Rose, and Ms. Wing. As a comment or question?
If we do a separate vote on public hearing 4, because I will have a no vote. Thank you.
So do you want to poll public 4?
Just for a separate vote.
Okay, can I have you amend your motion accepting PH 4?
Yes.
So moved. All in favor of the motion on the table to approve PH 1 through 6 with the exception of 4, with the understanding that 2 is withdrawn, and 4 and 6, excuse me, is deferred to the next meeting.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Once again, I must recuse myself from 3 and 4.
Okay.
I wish this would get resolved so I can participate.
So, for the same reason that you have put on the record previously.
Yes.
Same reason.
Yeah, I just put on the record previously.
I'm going to pull 3 then, Commissioner Blattner, to let you vote on the other items that you're not recused from. So if I could have the mover in the second, please amend their motion. Motion 1 through 6, excluding 3 and 4, with 2 being withdrawn and 6 being deferred. Okay, all in favor, before we have anything else, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, now we have PH3, and the reason PH3 was pulled is because Commissioner Blattner has to recuse himself. May I have a motion to approve PH3?
So moved.
Okay, make sure that Nancy sees who motioned and who seconded. Thank you. She has a name for the record. And so with that, may I have a vote, please? Motion to approve PH3. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, carried unanimously. Now we pull PH4, because Commissioner Graham wants to talk about PH4. So I will leave it there and recognize her now.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My vote, when we first heard this for the first the public hearing was a no vote, and I'm voting again no for some reasons. Thank you.
You're very welcome. May I have a motion to approve PH4?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Mrs. Graham opposes the motion, but the motion still carries. Any other business? Any other questions? Any other concerns? Thank you all for coming today. Have a great day. Be safe out there.